Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Carson and Kennedy. Welcome to the podcast for Friday, February 8th, 2019. We're going to get a brand new weekly wrap-up from DJ Dan, a.k.a. Nostradanus. Did I get that right? Was that good? Did I pronounce that correctly? Not bad. Also, would you like it if your ex called you to tell you about their upcoming wedding? Salt hits a milestone. The baby's sleeping, but he's not. And this is something that has never happened before. I got injured playing basketball. Megan Trainor is here.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Megan Trainor is here. The new EP is called The Love Train. There are 6 songs on there. I noticed one of the songs has your dad, Megan.
Yeah, he's playing the piano and the organs that you hear.
Oh, he didn't have his own rap kind of interlude?
I know. I know, I didn't really make that clear, so everyone's like, I bet he has a speaking part or like a rap, and I was like, oh no, he's just playing piano for me.
I feel like as much as he travels with you and goes to all the shows, well, the important shows, as we know, he doesn't go to small markets anymore, as he told us during Mixfest, but he deserved a spot,
Oh yeah, he deserves to be on the album for sure, and the EP, everything.
Best hype man in the biz.
Hype man.
So, Megan, you were here for Mixfest. You came with your then-fiancé, Daryl Sabara. And I just want to say congratulations to you guys. I know there was a big event.
Yeah, that was a special day. I remember he's sitting right here next to me.
Well, the big event was going to the Super Bowl. I was talking about the Super Bowl, not your wedding.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. Go Pats.
That went well, Carson. Did you plan that one for the last week? Hoping for it to go well there? Good job.
Oh, yeah. He was born and raised in L.A. or California. So he has, and it's nice because my bros are so Go Pats that they were wearing all Patriots stuff. And and Daryl's, he's very brave. I'll say that. So he went in a complete Rams outfit and just had the best time going against us all night.
Best time? I don't think it was the best time. Yeah. I'm not a sports person. I'm going to say it wasn't.
It's Megan Trainor. The new EP is called The Love Train. We were talking about you after you got married, Megan, and how the whole family was there. You took just like everybody went. It seemed like you guys had a great time, but Kennedy was kind of surprised by this. Like when you're on your honeymoon, does it affect, you know?
Bringing the family seems strange to me, but again, what do I know?
Yeah, we're stranger than other families. We're very close. My mom's here right now. They live 5 minutes away from me, and my bros live in my house. So they're the people I see every day, and I work with them, and I just can't get enough. Like a lot of my friends are like, I can only handle my mom in like 3 days and that's it. And I'm like, I need her here all the time. I wish she could go to every event with me. And so when I thought of my honeymoon, I was like, every time when you think of vacation, I'm like, yo, I'm going to be like a little sad if I can't share these moments with them or be like, did you see that, guys? You know? So we did a week alone with just us. And then we met them in Bora Bora. And it was like, I was never been happier. It was the best week of my life.
Megan, do you or your husband have a countdown clock when your brothers are going to move out?
No, but they do.
It's like, maybe just get a guest house out back or something. I don't know. Just get off the property.
No, like I always mess with them, like on their birthday cards. I always write, please stay with me forever. I love you. And they laugh. But they're like, yeah, when's the baby coming? Because that's my cue to go. And I'm like, it's not coming yet. So, okay.
It's Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1. We have our good friend Megan Trainor, who has a new EP. It's called The Love Train. It is out today. I want to play a piece of audio for you. I want to take you back to when you won your Grammy Award for Best New Artist in 2016. Take a listen.
I'm a mess. I have to think I have to thank L.A. Reid for looking at me like an artist instead of just a songwriter. Thank you, L.A. Reid and Epic Records. I love you so much. Thank you, Adam Factory and Troy Carter for managing me, and my mom and dad for always believing in me, and Charm LaDonna for making me an artist. I'm a mess. I have to go cry. Thank you to the Grammys. I love you so much. Thank you.
I thought it was just a fantastic speech. We got a good sense of who you were. But what else do you remember from those Grammy Awards?
I mean, I didn't think I was going to win, so I really wasn't prepared. And that moment was too real. And I remember being like, I forgot to thank so many people. And I ran off stage and like I wish I acknowledged everyone else who was nominated. And I couldn't see through my tears. And and I remember getting off stage and I ran into my family's arms, and then I ran into Demi Lovato's arms and was like, what's going on? And she was so sweet and like so happy for me. And it was, yeah, one of those moments I'll never forget ever.
Do you know what you're presenting on Sunday at the Grammys?
I think so. Like a country, the country album.
Oh, wow.
I think that's what I'm doing. Oh.
Whatever they tell me to do.
Have you worked on a more professional cry recently? Because it seemed like you let the last one get away from you a little bit.
Yeah, now I'll just do that thing where I just wipe one tear.
That one Demi Moore tear that runs down your face.
Been there.
I'm going to practice with Demi Moore tear.
Megan, do they give you a script at the Grammys, or do you just walk out and read the teleprompter, whatever stupid joke they've written?
They give you like a little tiny paragraph. And I remember my first time presenting, I was with Nick Jonas, and they gave me a paragraph. And then right before I got on the stage, backstage underneath, it's like they changed it on me. And I looked at Nick and was like, what am I going to do? And he's like, dude, you're fine. You got this. Like, he was so calm. It was frightening. And I was just panicking. But then I got up there and I read the prompter, too. So I kind of memorized it, but you're so nervous and so rattled, and when you see, like, your favorite artists out there, you're like, oh, God. I remember, like, my first year watching Taylor Swift present, and as soon as the cameras got, like the lights went out, she, like, did this body shake of, like, oh, thank God that's done. Like, it's so scary.
The new album, The Love Train, or the new EP is called The Love Train. It is out today from Meghan Trainor. And then keep an eye out for her Sunday on the Grammy Awards. She will be one of the presenters. It was good to talk to you. Congratulations on the wedding. And please tell Daryl we're so sorry about his Rams.
No, we're not. bye, honey.
Talking to me. Thank you, guys.
Bye. All right, bye, Megan.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Every Friday at about this time, we invite producer Dan in for the weekly wrap-up. He does a recap of everything that has happened on the show this week. And this week, it's mostly about just two simple words, Kennedy. Mm. Super Bowl. Mm.
And now, the weekly wrap-up with producer Dan. Everything you missed from the week by the premier MC in Boston, spitting fire, holding mad stacks, and keeping it real from the front to the back.
Boom, 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 chicka-ka. What's up, Boston?
What's up, Dan?
It's your boy, producer Dan, a.k.a. Thugs Bunny, a.k.a. Lil Stegosaurus, a.k.a. the most flavorful cracker since Ritz came out, Kennedy. Now, if you would indulge me briefly, I'd like to harken back to early November when the Red Sox won the World Series, and these were the last four bars of my Red Sox rap. David Price was loving life. He's the man again. Shout out to town for hosting all our shenanigans. City of champions. We just make it happen. See y'all in February when the Pats win.
Oh! Hey!
So y'all could call me Dan Stradamus. You're welcome for that.
Dan Stradamus. I love it.
Can that be next week here, Dan
Stradamus? How are the Celtics looking?
We'll talk about that. So it's February. The Pats won, and I see y'all. So let's go. It's a weekly wrap-up, signal and a histamine, and you know the flow, stay fresher than some Listerine. Yeah, we hit the scene, it ain't no mystery, saw the parade for another Pats victory. Can't say ish to me, Pats making history. competition getting smoked like hickory. This is Boston, you know we at the top, son. Had confetti in my shoe from when the Sox won. The Pats got one, six if you time me though. Bunch of Rams ain't nothing when you gotta go. Yeah, you oughta know, we ain't done yet, man. He still got four more fingers on his left hand. Oh, you know the tradition every time we win. Whole city Boylston bar crawled again. You can see the Pats when the boo starts to hit him. And shoot, I was right there stumbling with him. That's the price of victory at the top now. 80 vodka sodas have my system on lockdown. City of champs, I can't wait to do it all again. But I'ma bring spare pants when the Celtics win. Can't help but win, now we can't produce less. I split my pants down the middle like a duplex. Screaming, who's next? Rowdier than Roddy Piper. Gronk even brought his girlfriend, he might have found a lifer. Might wife her, but it can't be overlooked, y'all. He did get a little handsy with her footballs. Nothing need to say what they should or shouldn't do. But maybe wait till you don't see a camera crew. It's understandable, everybody's partying. And best believe, I ain't no angel or guardian. So let me start again, button it like cardigans. Two dudes got cut off at a bar, they was hardly in. They were drunk, I mean, there's no mistaking it. His girl said, do you know you just kicked out the Patriots? Didn't name names, cause we don't do that stuff. But you damn right, Kennedy done looked him up.
Yep.
It was tough, sometimes you get knocked down. It was like two redwoods getting chopped down. They were mad at it, my phone, I started grabbing it. Chased them down for an interview, but they weren't having it. That's the last of it, at least we brought some class with it. No cars on fire or notifying you next to kin.
Hooray.
See, Philly, that's how you celebrate a win.
Yeah.
Legendary man with some gas left to burn. I'll see y'all in June when it's the Celtics' turn. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Dan Stradamus.
Has his other pants. Spare pants, Dan.
Put on my prediction pants today.
They are flexible.
Pliable, baby. David Price was loving life. He's the man again. Shout out to Tom for hosting all our shenanigans. City of champions. We just make it happen. See y'all in February when the Pats win.
Wow, that was fantastic.
So amazing. Good.
Very well done,
shoot
producer
or shoot,
Dan.
Baby.
Okay, so Annie shared the story with it. Where'd you read it? The Toasters?
Yeah.
What is the Toasters? You read that thing all the time.
Okay, so it's
awesome.
It's this podcast, and it's also a YouTube show by these two girls that are from New York, and they started this thing called The Morning Toast. It's like the Millennial Morning Show, but they have all these subgroups, and there's one called Single and Toasted.
So we are stealing,
like Reddit for women.
So we're stealing our content for today's show from another show.
I'm sorry. We steal content every day.
I love it.
It's not even like that. It's just, it's girls that are around my age, and they just post about their kind of horror stories.
It's like a group of friends.
Yeah.
And they talk amongst stuff that, like, girls like to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. And this story was that this girl is engaged to be married, and he called the ex to say, hey, I'm getting married.
So the girl posted that her ex-boyfriend is getting married, and he reached out to her and said, hey, I just want to let you know before you see it on social media, I am getting married.
Which is weird to me. I don't know why you would do that. No. I don't see what do you owe that person that you used to date? It's almost, to me anyway, a sign of disrespect to who you're getting married to. Who cares what that person thinks? I'm in love with this person that's in front of me.
And that's fine, but I think it's a respect thing. You shared a lot of time with your old partner, and you shared, you know, love and memories and stuff, and I think that that's a respect thing.
For you to tell them. My ex-husband called me when he got married.
What if it ended horribly, or you have a bunch of garbage exes or something like that? You know?
I feel like
maybe that person wouldn't reach out. But I mean,
I'm wondering if this is a man-woman thing.
I still have a decent relationship with my ex-husband. Right. I mean, we don't talk all the time or whatever, but if I called him, he'd help me. But at the time, it seemed like the nice thing to do.
Even any of the exes that I ended it well with, I'm not going to reach out to anyone.
Okay, so I've got Connie. Are you cool with your fiance reaching out to their ex to tell them about a marriage?
Absolutely.
Why?
Absolutely. I think it's a sign of respect.
So you
hear it from them and not from a friend or social media.
Yeah. But what if it ended poorly and you don't talk to that person at all or
anything like that?
Doesn't matter.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this. What about if you're getting married? Do you want your fiance calling his ex to tell her so she doesn't get her feelings hurt when she finds out?
Hell yes. I'd be like, I won. Petty. Carson level petty right there.
Carson level petty.
Connie? Yeah, she's calling.
She's calling her ex.
Marisa, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. So, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I did the same exact thing. I actually just got married in December.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And, you know, when I got engaged, I just kind of... I didn't call. I sent a text message to my ex-fiance, and I just gave him a heads up because I knew he was going to see it on social media. So I just think it's a respect thing, just a common courtesy.
It's disrespectful to your new, to your wife, your husband, or whomever.
Well, what if they know that you're doing it?
Yeah, I don't think you need to bring it up. It's that was your past, and you let your past go, and then you're like, okay, great. You're not trying to be disrespectful to the person there. You're moving on with your life. Mm-hmm. That's not being disrespectful.
And it's funny.
That's because, just being
a
human.
And Salt and I agree 100% about this, and I think you're looking at it from the, it would be nice to hear from the ex, but think about it if it was your fiance. Yeah.
I don't care.
That wouldn't upset me, though, and I wouldn't feel disrespected if he was going
like
to
I
reach
said
out
before,
to somebody.
Well, you're damn right I won. Go ahead, tell her twice.
We also had mutual friends who were going to, like, come to my wedding, so that was kind of like the other thing is, like, he would have heard about it from them. I was just trying to, I just thought it was a respect thing.
Right. Good enough.
Yeah. And I did give my fiance, now husband, he knew I was doing it.
All right. Thank you, Marisha. We appreciate that. Got a bunch of text messages too, Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of women out there that says, I'm a girl and maybe I feel different because I'm currently engaged, but I definitely would not feel comfortable if my fiance reached out to his ex to tell her individually.
I think if it's a conversation you both have together and this is something you're both okay with, then fine. If you're doing it surreptitiously, though, no. I think that's right, too.
A three-way call?
Well, I don't think it has to be that ridiculous.
Could you hold for so-and-so?
And if you're that insecure about it, maybe need rethink.
I think this is one of those things you don't owe anybody anything. Your happiness is your happiness, mm-hmm. and you're not trying, as long as you're not being malicious about it, you're not trying to rub it in anybody's face.
Right.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
If you don't know, Salt and his wife Sarah had a baby, a little girl. Her name is CP, and she hasn't been sleeping very well. And she finally slept through the night last night, but Salt didn't. What happened?
She was, it's been crazy lately. Yeah, she's been in a room, and she'll wake up every couple hours, and she's teething. Right. So it's understandable. You got razor blades shooting through your gums. You're going to, of course, wake up and scream.
I just can't imagine those things that babies go through. And I realize we grow teeth later, like when you're 8, but still.
No, they say that adults.
Good God almighty, what that must feel like.
They say adults can't handle this pain.
I'm sure.
They literally, it's crazy. So last night, my wife puts her down, and we had yesterday was a great day for her and I in the afternoon, me and CP. Like, she was on her schedule. She took a nice little nap. Wasn't too long. Wasn't too short.
Right.
Did that. Had some food. Had some solid food. Had formula. I'm like, okay, this is good. This is good. We're ready for bedtime. A little fussy at bedtime, but Sarah put her down for bed. She's in her crib. And then about, an hour later, that's all we can stay up by ourselves because we're just too tired.
Worn out.
We go to bed. And then about an hour later, I'm like, I haven't heard anything. Is the baby monitor on? So then I wake up. Baby monitor's on. Baby's doing fine. Okay, great. Go back to sleep. 2 seconds later, wait, what? Was that, did I hear something? And then I look over and Sarah's doing the same thing. Sarah is literally just staring at the baby monitor, just like sleeping, staring at it.
Right.
And then she'll go to sleep and then like wake up and just be staring right back at the baby monitor.
So even when the baby sleeps, you don't sleep.
Yeah.
You cannot win for trying.
You're shell-shocked now.
Yeah, no. You're so used to sleeping, I don't want to say it's like war, but you're sleeping in a foxhole, and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. So you try and get as much sleep as you can for the interim of time. So around, that was like at like 9 o'clock. So then around 11:30, 12 o'clock, this is the time when I usually wake up, go into the other room, soothe her a little bit, and then boom, we're done.
Right.
Nothing. I'm hearing nothing. I'm hearing, and we got new windows in the house, so I'm not even hearing anything outside either. So it's like quiet. I'm like, what is this sound?
So not used to it.
What is happening?
Now you can't sleep.
Yes. And so now I'm kind of awake, and I'm like, what's happening? Is my nose stuffy? No, my nose isn't stuffy. So what's happening? I should be sleeping. This is optimal sleeping conditions.
And you can't.
And I can't sleep. And I look over. Sarah, still staring at the baby monitor.
Oh, my gosh.
Just staring at the baby monitor. I'm like, has she done anything? No. Nothing. I'm like, it's almost like we're waiting for her to do something.
Yeah.
And then you got to go in and listen to her to see if she's
breathing. No. I don't want to touch the door because 160-year-old house,
right.
Everything creaks.
Yep.
So I know the floorboards are creak and her door definitely creaks. So I'm not rolling in there.
We used to leave the door open between our room and Barrett's room so we could do that because we were afraid to wake him up if he was sleeping.
We don't because we got jerk cats. and they'll jump in bed with her and sleep with her.
So now you are, even though she's sleeping, sleeping with one eye open, which I imagine you'll be doing until she's 18 years old. So now when she hits that age where she's sneaking out the house, girl, I've been having one ear on you since you were born.
You knows what's up. No, it's crazy. Yeah, so then, you know, then I'm like, okay, you know, you should sleep. You should sleep. So I try to sleep. And then like 20 minutes before my alarm goes off, it's like 3 o'clock and I'm like, anything? And Sarah's still. Look over at her, staring at the baby monitor. Have you heard anything? No. Is it on? And as I get up, I hear a in the other room. So she literally just slept through the entire night.
That's wonderful news.
But you did.
Is it?
Didn't sound like wonderful news to me. It sounded like
I
you had
kinda
a horrible
want her
night.
Just to, freaking me out.
I'm up. You got to be up.
Yeah. Is there a point at which, Carson, though, that you get used to them actually sleeping and then you sleep too?
Yeah. 3 tequilas.
Okay.
Let me know you're alive. That's pretty much all I want to know.
Can you put a little monitor on with the baby monitor? Little heart doot doot. Yeah. So you know that the heart is still beating.
I need something.
Well, we used to turn it up so loud just so you could like.
Yeah, we had it too loud to where we were hearing all kinds of weird. We were hearing ourselves. We were getting feedback because you could hear us snoring in our room on the baby monitor.
Does yours have the LED readout where the lights flash? Ours had an LED readout. You could turn the screen off, but you could still see the sound bars moving.
Oh my gosh,
you could hear their so, like their breath.
Yeah, so if you
I don't
want
know,
the, if you
didn't
want
check
the,
that,
if you so you could turn the screen off, but then you could still see the sound bar flash.
I'm almost positive right now. If I called my wife, she would still be staring at that baby monitor right now.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
I'm sorry about my voice again today. I'm in such bad shape between going to the Super Bowl party, to the Super Bowl parade, and then two games of basketball and a lacrosse practice. Like, I can't talk anymore.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, it's bad. I was at the game last night, and I'm just like trying to yell at the kids, play number two, play number two, play
Can you instead like hold up something that says two on it?
Mm-hmm. They won't look.
They won't look. Yeah.
No, they're probably not paying attention.
Yeah, the only time they look at
me to begin with, he said number two. He said number two.
Oh, and they thought it was a joke.
The only time they look at me is when they're supposed to be like looking at the play, and then some guy runs by them with the basketball.
Aww.
And then I got injured again playing basketball yesterday.
At what point do we get to not feel sorry for you anymore?
I stopped a year ago.
I just feel like you continue to do something over and over that hurts you, Carson. Why would you do that? Why does it hurt you?
You continue to drive.
But I would stop driving tomorrow if I could afford it.
You continue to date, Kennedy.
Yeah. It's in my blood, Kennedy. I can't quit.
I can't argue with
that. Fall is life, Kennedy.
Yeah,
you know?
Ball is life.
Ball is life.
It is life.
Carson's he's a real big baller. Like,
I love it so much. And thankfully,
can you just be the manager? Like, wipe up the sweat off the...
Lunchtime game at some random rec court is life.
YMCA, thank you.
Yes.
Thankfully, there was a learned doctor.
All his life.
A learned doctor was there yesterday, so he was able to examine.
Was he a doctor of letters or actual medicine?
No, this guy is a serious doctor.
Wait, stop. So you got poked in the eye and you needed a doctor's attention?
Yeah, it was really bad.
How's your depth perception?
Caught my eye.
It's bad. It was bad.
You're not wearing a patch today. It couldn't be that bad.
I thought about wearing it to the basketball. What was bad?
What happened?
I had the ball. I was out by the 3-point line, and I was about to go by my guy, and he tried to knock the ball out of my hand. Instead, tried to knock my eyeball out of my face.
Do you keep the ball close to your face?
I was going to say, bring it down.
No, it wasn't.
You need to dribble it lower.
No, it was, and that was the whole. That's what I was mad
about. You got a high dribble.
The ball was down low by my waist. I don't know what the heck he was flailing
at.
Did
the doctor have to put your eyeball back in its place?
No, he didn't. Thankfully, it was still in there.
Did they bring out a stretcher?
I was laying. I was laying down face first, flat, laid out on the floor of the gym for a good 5 minutes.
Were you crying?
Was I crying? I mean, I wasn't crying, but there were.
You were tearing.
Did you draw the foul, though? I don't know what that means.
Yeah. He got the M1 from the 3-point line.
I didn't go back in the game.
Did they draw an outline of your body?
Well, are you on the injured reserve?
Well, and I didn't know, like, when it first happens, you're covered up. So, I have so many things going through my head. Like, is my eyeball going to be in my hand when I pull my hand away?
Oh, my God.
Is there, yeah, so it was.
At any point, did your eyeball come out of the socket?
No, it did
Okay.
No, no.
So
no.
You were just worst case scenario.
But you, when you get poked in the eye and somebody does it,
I think
really
it's going to go into my head. I don't think it's going to come out of my head.
It
when
felt
I get
like
poked
it was
going to
be in the palm of my hand. And so
maybe bocce over in the North End. That might be a nice lunchtime activity for you.
Why don't you wear those the glasses that the b-ball players wear?
Rex.
Like the old, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Whatever.
Just go to Home Depot and get some safety glasses. You'll be fine.
I mean, if you can do something to help prevent it before it starts, why not?
I will say this,
though. Not playing basketball.
Well,
he's not going to do that. So let's find some plan Bs.
Even the other guys yesterday, after I got injured and I quit playing, they're like, "You really do have the worst luck playing basketball. Like, I'm the one that gets injured all the time." But
it's not luck. It's skill.
If there's something that's going wrong in a situation and all of the other parts of the situation keep changing,
I get fouled.
Then literally,
it's never my
fault. It's the fault of the commonality. That's what it is.
To go back to your dating thing about me, literally, I know I'm the common denominator.
Yeah,
I know it's me.
It's not my
fault.
It's not
so
my
then
fault.
I get to the basketball.
One of these things is not like the other.
I don't think it's your fault. I'll take your side on this.
I get.
You think they just fouled him on purpose?
How can't it be?
Well, they're fouling him. It's not like he's.
Maybe he's playing out of control and they're just literally.
Well, yeah, he's not the most coordinated human being.
Is there a famous basketball player that gets fouled a lot?
Is there a famous?
Well, they fake it like LeBron does.
Shaquille
we can call
O'Neal.
Him LeBron? Is that what you're telling me?
No, Shaquille O'Neal.
We can call
they
him
changed.
Shaquille.
Yeah, because they changed the name of the game. They called it Hack-a-Shack. And they would foul him at the end of games because he was so bad at shooting free throws that the NBA had to change the rule that you could let somebody else shoot the free throws if they tried to do Hack-a-Shack.
So using that mentality. Are they because when you get injured, you usually have to go off the court. You stop playing for the day. So are that's what they're doing? They're slapping you off the court so they can play a normal game. They just don't want you to play anymore.
Now you see. Okay.
And America's insurance premiums are going up because he's at the emergency room at least once a month.
So I didn't have to go to the emergency room. Thankfully, my eyeball is swollen. It looks like it's. I don't even know.
You went to the emergency room?
No, I didn't go to the emergency.
Did you give your friend a copay?
No, and he checked on me last night.
Wow.
He sent me a text and said, "Make sure you're doing the saline solution."
That's a good doctor right there.
No, he's fantastic. He's fantastic. But I want to tell you this. So I get to my son's basketball game last night, and I have eight boys who are all between the ages of 7, 8, 9 years old, and they just thought I was the coolest coach ever.
Because your eye looked so gross.
They're like, "Oh, turn your eye. Let me see. That's awesome. How did it happen? Did you score?"
That's because they think you're playing basketball against the Celtics in the middle of the day, not a bunch of other 50-year-old men playing at the Y.
Who got to show somebody they met Hort.
Met Hort. Ben Gay in here.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
So we are celebrating our 10th anniversary here at Mix 104.1, and we thought it might be fun to look back on some of the interviews with celebrities that we've done over the years, and what we realized is as we started going back and listening to them, we screw a lot of them up.
Yeah.
We're normal. We're like just anything else. It's like you're having a conversation with somebody in your office, and you're like, "I should not have just said that."
I will say I am responsible for about 69% of the screw-ups of the interviews.
All right, Gronk.
I would say.
I feel like it's more in the 80s, but okay.
Yeah,
I feel like you're like Campy Kennedy numbers here. You're like 92%.
It might be 92%. Yeah. You might.
But
be
right. but we appreciate you because now we can make a bit out of it.
Now we have we can do less.
Now we
work.
Have a cornucopia of things to choose from, a plethora, if you will.
It's the Friday flashback with Carson and Kennedy.
You've heard Carson and Kennedy do a lot of great interviews, but they also mess up a bunch. I mean a bunch. Inappropriate questions, completely wrong facts, or just plain being dumb. They've done it all, and they're going to play it for you.
It's the Friday Flashback Cup with Carson and Kennedy.
So good.
So this is
we got to pay that band more.
This is Bruno Mars. He was having a big year back in 2012.
I've heard of him.
Getting ready to release Unorthodox Jukebox, Kennedy. He had just done SNL, where he was the host and the performer.
Double duties.
And he had done a sketch in a dress. And so I asked him an awkward question about had he ever worn a dress before.
It's the weirdest thing ever. No one can tell you that they're prepared for what's going to happen because you do your monologue and then someone yanks you off the stage and, in my case, put me in a dress.
That's exactly where I was going to go. I was going to ask you about that sketch where you were dressed up. You were on, like, a talk show, and you were dressed as a woman. Is that the first time you've ever been dressed as a woman?
Yes. Yes, that is the first time.
Do you honestly think he'd tell you if it wasn't?
Yeah, in public, on TV.
In public or private.
I'm wearing a tutu right now. But.
Well, I'm going to say my wife said you owned that character, so she felt that this was not the first time you had put on tights and a skirt.
Wow.
Oh, we'll never know, will we?
He's just spent his life on stage since he's 4 years old. He understands how to perform. That's all that is.
That's what it is. I'm an artist.
There you go.
I need to paint the picture.
So, Bruno, do you have it in your blood now? If they bring back the variety show, I think I could totally see you hosting one because you have it. You know, you have the likability. You have the funny. I would totally watch you on a variety show.
Oh, yeah? Well, maybe I'll do that.
The Bruno Mars Variety Hour.
I think that'd be great. Bring it back.
I was just talking about that. Like Dean Martin used to do it. Yeah. Idea.
Sonny and Cher.
I know Wayne Brady tried to do it.
Jessica Simpson
and Nick Lachey, they tried to do one, didn't they?
They did one every year, I think, around Christmas time.
And I think tried is the operative word on that one.
Right, but. Right. Well,
now what happens in a variety show? You just do comedy, you got a musical guest.
You do a skit, you have a guest.
Kind of whatever, right?
Yeah, you come out and do a little monologue. Yeah.
To me, Sonny and Cher was the best because they were such great musicians. She was an amazing singer, but they were really funny together.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a Sonny and Cher, like, you need to bring it back. That's all I'm saying.
And a funny female co-host. Who could it be?
We don't know anybody like that. I have one last question for you, Bruno. How do you get such luscious hair? What do you use? That hair is gorgeous.
Luscious.
Isn't it beautiful?
It is amazing.
I tell myself that every morning.
It is incredible, that hair.
It's almost like you need a horse shampoo for
and then
it
you
because
wear,
it's just so shiny
you
and lustrous.
Know what makes me mad? He wears a hat.
Ugh.
You wear a hat when you're like me and you're thinning. You don't... You're
not thinning.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, you're past thinning. Yeah. You're past thin about 4 years ago, dude.
You're emaciated.
All right,
I'm blooming.
All right, follow him on Twitter, too. It's at Bruno Mars. Great to have you on the show. Best of luck with the new album. Comes out December 11th. Oh, Unorthodox Shoebox. Thanks, Bruno. Unfortunately, that album never went anywhere, did it?
No.
I'm glad you gave his Twitter handle, too, and told people to follow him because it's not like he had any followers.
I was just
this guy's on the internet if you want to.
Those were
out.
The notes that they gave me. They asked
He's
me to plug
up-and-comer.
His they asked me to Get plug his album
up.
And to plug his social media.
I'm so here for doing
as I was asked to do, Salt.
Mm-hmm. It's got its AOL handle over here too.
Check out his MySpace page.
Check him on GeoCities.
He's got a new song up there.
Jiminy Christmas.
All right, that is it. That is fun.
That
I like it. I like
You like doubled down when you were asking him about the dress too.
Right?
You like pressed.
You're like,
really
well, my
did.
Wife
well,
thinks
let me tell
you're
my
very
wife.
Comfortable.
My wife says you've been in a dress before.
Yeah.
It's the Friday Flashback with Carson and Kennedy.
I like it.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.